Thank you for the opportunity to talk with you today, and thank you for coming. We'll be talking today about the effects of elevated CO2 and ozone on above and below ground growth decomposition in a no-till soybean wheat system. I'll also be mentioning, looking into effects on soil microbial processes, and then some soil carbon sequestration estimates. So we've been working for a number of years on the effects of elevated CO2 and ozone on soybean and other crops. We found that CO2 consistently increases the production of yield and biomass in a number of C3 crops. Ozone inhibits this, and in combination we find that elevated CO2 typically ameliorates the effects of higher ozone. These relationships are somewhat variable and depend on the relative sensitivity of the crop and the concentration of the gases. However, there's been very little research done on the effects on root growth and decomposition and effects on soil processes. And that's what we are interested in looking at as we continued our research. Specifically, we're asking the question is, does this increased production of biomass in response to elevated CO2 do anything to increase soil quality, or does it increase carbon sequestration in the soil, or is it simply recycled and lost as CO2? So the objective of this experiment is to determine the consequences of these two gases on carbon, on soil microbiology, productivity, and soil carbon. So the topic my talk is going to cover just some background on the CO2 by ozone effects, and then introduce the CO2 by ozone experiment. And in this, I'm going to talk about the yield variability we see, residue production and decomposition, residue nitrogen inputs, root length measurements we've had, some effects on soil and microbial respiration, and then some trends in soil carbon and nitrogen that we've seen. So you're familiar with this trend, and it shows no indication it's going to slow in the near future, and it certainly is increasing biomass production of a number of C3 crops and some C4 crops. This graph here, figure shows the concentration of ozone across the United States. Those areas shown in orange, yellow, and red, here, have tropospheric ozone concentrations high enough to suppress crop yields, yields of susceptible crops. Not only is ozone a problem because of its toxicity, it's also potent greenhouse gas. It's the third most important greenhouse gas behind methane and CO2. So it's also contributing to global warming. This is a graph showing the average tropospheric ozone concentrations in the United States, which hover around 50 to 55 parts per billion. They're about 50% higher in areas of China and the developing world, and are predicted to get higher to increase in the future, but that depends on what emission controls are developed. Tropospheric ozone typically decreases yield of susceptible crops such as soybean, peanut, and cotton, less so for winter wheat, and it decreases yield in the range of 5 to 15%. In combination, elevated CO2 decreases stomatal conductance of most crops. And this graph shows conductance here on the y-axis and days after planting of a soybean experiment. This is the control, and then we have an ozone treatment. That's the ozone at ambient CO2. And then below here, this is clean air. CF is for charcoal filtered air. And twice ambient CO2. And you can see the conductance is reduced. The result of that is a decrease in ozone uptake. And this graph shows yield of Essex soybean over 10 years of experiments. This is midday ozone flux. This is at ambient CO2 and 1.5 times ambient ozone. So when you add CO2, you get a reduced conductance, you get a reduced uptake, and you get reduced impacts on yield. The effects on yield are also a result of effects on above ground biomass production. So as you see on an aerial basis here, you see that this is elevated CO2, that's the control. We get increased biomass production, we get increased production of cellulose. Also, as a result of the increased biomass production, there's an increase in nitrogen production or concentration. And this, it turns out, with the elevated CO2 with a nitrogen-fixing plant such as soybean is pretty significant and will become important later on. I'll talk about that. But you also see an increase in lignin and fiber content with elevated CO2 because of increased biomass. And we were wondering, is that going to feed back to slow decomposition, or exactly what will happen? So just to briefly go over experimental design, then we had two CO2 treatments. They're ambient, 374 in the summer, 380 in the winter. There's 550 is the elevated treatment. We treated with charcoal filtered air, and then 1.5 times ambient ozone, and these are done in a 5-year experiment with 4 reps. This shows the effects on seed yield of 3 different cultivars that we grew over the course of 5 years. These are all Roundup Ready cultivars. This cultivar is particularly sensitive to ozone, and you saw a very large impact to ozone here, and a modest increase in response to CO2. The Asgrow 5605 is quite resistant to ozone, shows a good response to CO2, and then this is an intermediate. Overall, the effects on yield was an increase of 21% with elevated CO2, a significant decline with the elevated ozone, and then the elevated CO2 it reduced the effects of ozone, but not entirely. So what I wanted to point out here is that there's a tremendous variability among the cultivars in their sensitivity to ozone and CO2, which needs to be taken into account, and also our yield estimates of an increase of 21% are similar, although higher than those at FACE, they're about 15%. But the point I want to make is that they're not 33%, and there's no indication that they're ranging that high, which were previous estimates. The yield estimates are about in the same range of 21%. Because we have much lower ozone concentrations during the winter, there's no measurable ozone impact. The production of above-ground residues follows from the yield results, and again you see a large increase with this particular cultivar. It's so sensitive to ozone, though, you get a big impact here, and then in interaction there's quite an impact of the elevated ozone with CO2. The Asgrow, which is a top performer in North Carolina, shows much less response to the ozone, and then this is a medium responder, and again about the same effects on residue, and then similarly with the wheat. So this is a measurement of the decomposition of these residue inputs. These are total inputs after 4 years, and this shows total residue input, which is increased by 25% with the elevated CO2. It's decreased by 11% with the high ozone, and increased by, it's not significantly different in combination of ozone CO2. This is the litter. After 4 years, we raked up all the litter that was in the chambers and we measured what was left. So there's 26% more litter in the elevated CO2. There's only 1% difference in the ozone treatment compared with the control. So this litter is decomposing a little bit slower because there's less input, but there's about the same remaining. And then you can see in combination it's about the same. So on an area basis, the residue mass loss rates then for the control, where we lost 74% of what we put in. And with the elevated CO2, there was a 93% loss, or rather the loss rate's 93%, which is 26% higher than the control, and then less with the ozone and in combination. And this is on an area basis. On a mass basis, which is a relative mass loss, the CO2 and the ozone, I mean the CO2 residue is decomposing at the same rate as the control. So the point is that the residue is not accumulating in the chamber. There's a slightly slower loss of residue with the elevated ozone. So along with that change in biomass, there's this chain effect on residue nitrogen input. So this shows that with soybean, because it's a nitrogen fixer, there's an increase in nitrogen input to the soils, and there's no loss, there's no effect of CO2 on nitrogen concentration in the plant. With the wheat, nitrogen concentration declines, but because there's an increase in biomass input, it's a sort of a wash. So in terms of what's going back into the soil in terms of nitrogen inputs. So overall, there's a 23% increase in nitrogen input to the soil at elevated CO2 and 11% less with ozone. Let's go below ground here to show that with the elevated CO2, there's an increase in root length with soybean and wheat at elevated CO2. The effects of ozone are not significant, although I think what's happening is we get early senescence and decomposition of the soybean roots. So you do see a decline in soybean root length when it's later in the season. The measurements of soil respiration show that overall CO2 increased soil respiration by 25%. And this is shows the trends over the years. This is wheat. This is the second year soybean. This is wheat, soybean again, and then wheat. The elevated CO2 treatments are consistently higher. These big peaks are due to root respiration, because here you can see when the plants are harvested and die, soil respiration drops way off. The effect of ozone is very small, but it does appear here and appears as an earlier senescence. A similar pattern is observed with soil microbial respiration, although the effects are somewhat delayed. So this is respiration without the root component. And what's interesting here is that it starts off slow, but then we do see a significant increase in soil root respiration in the second half of this experiment. And we think that that increase in soil respiration is being augmented by that increase in nitrogen that's coming into the system. So we're increasing carbon input into the soils, which is stimulating respiration. And then on top of that, we have some more nitrogen going into the soil. So we have a system that's probably carbon limited and co-limited by nitrogen. So in combination, we're getting an even an amplified effect on soil respiration with the elevated CO2. This shows the trends in soil carbon and nitrogen over the course of the 5 years. This is soil carbon here and over time, and there's no significant difference between the treatments yet. You can clearly see that the effects of no-till cultivation is working in this young system, and then soil carbon is increased by 28% over the 4 years. This graph down here illustrates the effect on soil nitrogen. The CO2 trends, CO2 treatments are, you know, they're going in the right direction, but there's not a significant difference. So then, to conclude then, that what I wanted to get, the points I want to make, is that soybean and yield increases at 550 ppm are likely going to range from 15 to 20, 25%. At current temperature and precipitation. Increases in minimal temperature and ozone temperature interactions are not very well understood and may cause a decrease in this potential yield estimate as well. Obviously, ozone can erode soybean production gains at elevated CO2 depending on the cultivar utilized and the ozone concentrations. We're not getting into an accumulation of residue with the elevated CO2, but the elevated ozone may slow decomposition. Increased root biomass and residue inputs increase soil respiration rates, so it looks like most of that carbon that's going into the soil and the root biomass production and root exudates are being catabolized by the microbes, and we're losing an increased amount of that in carbon, CO2, soil respiration, and that the increase with nitrogen due to the nitrogen-fixing soybean may be amplifying organic carbon turnover with the elevated CO2, and thus limiting the potential for carbon sequestration in agroecosystems. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's wait for the questions until the end of the session, and so people can move in between the different sessions here today.